The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, an offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Hirn schließen! Das Blumenpflücken bei der Fass ist verboten!
State of war would exist soon. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now,
a walk in the Black Forest.
Good evening and welcome to 2RRR at 8.5 FM. This is A Walk in the Black Forest on tonight's show. Ooh, episode 273, nearly forgot. On tonight's show, Battle for Bennelong special guest Greens candidate Lindsay Peters, Richard's jogging with the PM in Canberra, caught on tape, hey Mr. President, this week, Stephen Colbert, election roundup, Pete's exclusive infiltration into Howard Land, all that, and all the news that's not fit to print. A Walk in the Black Forest, toppling the oligarchy.
Marginal Liberal seat, held by John Howard since 1974.
History is against us when it comes to winning this election.
I feel it's the best thing that I can do to help Kevin Rudd become the country's next Prime Minister.
When I get news like that, my only reaction is to determine and resolve to work even harder. Beyond that, I don't really have any further commentary.
This is not about John Howard. This is not about Maxine McHugh. It is about Australia making a clear-cut decision, a once-in-a-generation decision about the kind of country we have, about how we want to use the present prosperity.
I'm not grumpy, I just know what games you fellas play.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Walk in the Black Forest 2RRR 88.5 FM. And I can't hear a word I'm saying.
It's all right, you're there.
Excellent, no worries. This is show number 273. We are Richardless tonight because he is down in Canberra being, how shall we say, involved in the political machinations that occur in Canberra.
He's in fact a king builder.
He's a king builder, right?
And a king taker.
I've heard of king makers, but I haven't heard of king builders before.
It's a Lego thing, you know.
I can work with
that.
Yeah,
you know.
So on tonight's program, as we've kicked straight into the battle for Bennelong, I think it's time to introduce the Greens candidate for the, as Maxine declares, the Liberal held marginal seat of Bennelong, Lindsay Peters. Welcome to A Walk in the Black Forest.
Thanks very much, Peter. Welcome to you. Yeah.
Now, Bennelong is an interesting seat. I mean, obviously, because of the focus that's on Bennelong at the moment, because of, obviously, the not just the battle for the actual who's going to hold the seat, but, of course, being the Prime Minister's seat. And in some senses, perhaps it's totemic of, you know, not just the downfall of the Howard government, but the potential downfall of Howard as a politician as well. Has the media attention on Bennelong sort of been of benefit to your campaign, or is it something that, you know, is a bit of a distraction?
No, it's been good. Yeah. We have got a lot more coverage because of that, and I totally agree with you about what you call totemic.
Yeah. I've never heard of the word either. He likes to use big
Yeah,
words.
But I understand what you're saying, because it's symbolic for me, and symbolic that it's not just the end of, you know, Howard in this electorate, but it would be, I think, an important symbol going forward for Australia to put behind ourselves those terrible Liberal years that we've had. You know, so much social injustice and ill treatment. And so I think it's important, sort of like it'd be a healing step, I think, for Australia to actually unseat Howard in Bennelong and move forward.
So the changes in the electoral boundaries for Bennelong, which has now drawn in areas that used to formerly be in the seats of Parramatta, and then excised some areas of the seat that's now moved over to North Sydney. How has that changed the demographics, I guess, perhaps in favour or against Greens voters? Because I know the Greens had a strong presence in 2004 with Andrew Wilkie.
Very strong. We got almost 17% of the primary vote. And in fact, it was Andrew's efforts in those days which made Bennelong a marginal seat. I mean, John Howard, people don't know this, but John Howard actually had to go to preferences to get in last time. And as regards the redistribution, look, we think it will have a minor positive effect for the Greens vote, definitely on that move down towards Ermington and so forth, but I don't think it's going to be major just
now,
by itself. Yeah.
The Greens, of course, currently have parliamentary presence in the form of in the Senate, and there is a strong belief that the Greens may end up holding a balance of power in the Senate, and there does seem to be a strong push on the Greens' side that that's the role that the Greens perhaps should play in now in the lieu of the death of the Democrats. R.I.P. That's them, you know the ones.
I'm confused.
Yeah. So, how do you think the Greens vote in the Senate will play in Bennelong not as a seat, but just the population of a part of the New South Wales vote? How do you think that's going to play into people's thinking about voting Green, whether they'll vote a Green in the Senate and perhaps vote Green first preference in the lower house? Is there a thought amongst the Greens about how that's going to play out, how that whole sort of Senate, House of Reps off against each other is going to play out?
Yeah, well, we certainly put a lot of thought into this, Peter, and we don't know how it's going to play out. What we're hoping to do is, in all our campaigns in the lower house, is to campaign very strongly for the upper house as well.
Yeah.
You know, and we believe that by having a strong lower house campaign and raising these core green issues, such as the environment and work choices and, you know, social justice issues, and really what we believe, economic issues, we believe that that strong message in the lower house will translate in the upper house to a presence and hopefully get Senator Kerry Nettle, a really excellent senator, get her re-elected, and as you say, get the balance of power in the Senate. I mean, Kerry says one of her worst nightmares would be to wake up, you know, on the 25th and find that, yes, Labor has got in the lower house, but the Liberals still maintain control of the Senate, and so we can't rip up terrible legislation like work choices. That would be awful.
I suppose at that point as well is the likelihood that there could, of course, be a blockage of you know, supply.
Well, yes.
Potentially the Senate could block supply to a new government.
They could. I mean, there is this gentleman's agreement after the last time that happened that it wasn't going to happen again. So that's I don't think anybody's seriously thinking that will happen.
Now, you mentioned earlier that this could see John Howard unseated as, you know, the not only the local member, but the Prime Minister as well. What do you think, and what are you hearing from people as John Howard, as the local member? What do they think of John Howard as a local member?
Well, I think the views I've heard are pretty polarised, as you'd expect. There's certainly John Howard has a strong following, especially among the older people. But I'm finding, again, as I said, a very strong movement in people's thinking away from John Howard. People who would have voted for him in the last election but are now have become so more disillusioned with the policies, especially work choices, And the complete lack of action on the environment and climate change. And a lot of those very conservative, and in a good sense, conservative people, are now saying, well, you know, he's really lost the plot, and his ideas of this radical, you know, economy based on never-ending consumption are just, you know, that time has passed. And these are concerned older people, who really now think it's really time for a change and time for a more principled direction for Australia. And you'd be surprised, like, you know, the Greens themselves are made up a majority, I think, of, you know, people my ilk, you know, sort of over 50s. You know, one of the first forums I went to was Grey Power Greenpeace. You know, these are the people who are really active. So I do think there is very much a mood for change.
Certainly, actually, within the activist movement as such, some of the most vocal activists are people over their 50s. I mean, certainly historically, if you look at the movement that brought the Australians home from Vietnam, the real movement that did that, of course, was the older people who actually said, you know, mothers against the Vietnam War, things like that. There was those kind of movements that brought the troops back. Now, you mentioned earlier that it's time to stop, you know, the Howard years, the legacy of the things that have happened. What do you think over the Howard years, what's the worst thing, well, some of the worst things so far that have happened? Obviously, I mean, we can look on a social level, Australia's changed a lot in the past, you know, decade or so, you know, certainly socially, the way people look at each other. Where do you see the big mistakes? Where's that really gone wrong?
Well, at so many levels that the policies have led us astray. I think, you know, I mean, it's for me, it started with Tampa and that very callous rejection of those asylum seekers and vilification of them. And that was the start of a movement to, you know, further racial vilification. And now we've seen essentially the end of a policy of multiculturalism in Australia.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whistleblowing for the racists in our community rather than providing leadership and building on that strong multicultural heritage that we have and most of us value very much. I think that's a big shame that Howard's era has brought divisiveness into Australia for political gain, and it's not well conceived. You know, it was just this, you know, it's very ill conceived. Then I think some of these things are long term, are going to take a while for the full effects to come through, and one of them obviously is education. And we've seen a real lack of funding of public education, universities and schools over many years now, declining. And this is already having an effect with school shortages. But at the end of the day, I mean, our democracy is founded on a well-educated population from all strata of society. And it's now dramatically turning into a privilege for the rich. And Australia's going to miss out on, you know, I mean, it happens, as we all know, that intelligent and you know, people who can contribute intellectually to this country don't just come from the rich, you know.
Of course.
Absolutely. And everyone, and it's not just a right, but it's in Australia's best interest to pull out the best talent from all sections of society, whether they can afford it or not. And that legacy is going to be going to be with us for a long time. And then we have, you know, the issues again. I mean, it's of climate change. You know, 11 years of inaction on climate change, and all the evidence so far points to the fact that it's accelerating and it's worse than what we originally thought. In fact, the news seems to get worse and worse every time we get a new piece of scientific evidence. Oh my God, you know, the Arctic ice is retreating even further. Oh no, the oceans are storing less carbon dioxide than we thought.
Sure.
And, you know, these effects are going to be, you know, huge. And so his lack of preparing Australia for the really important things in the future, I think, is a dreadful legacy of his.
So from a perspective, I think the Greens have moved a lot in the last, say, 10 or 15 years. I mean, traditionally, back 15 years ago, the Greens perhaps would have been regarded as a lot of people used to criticise the Greens for being a single-issue party, and they've now moved very much to having a broader perspective of things. It almost seems like the current environment, the mood of the population being frightened of climate change and also being quite angry that there's been very little done. I mean, even until the point of 3 or 4 months ago, Howard was still a climate skeptic in public.
Well, he's a populist, isn't he?
He's a populist.
I mean, really, he's just changing his mind because that's the way the wind is blowing.
It almost seems like these times are made for the Greens. Like this is the time for the Greens. Because certainly, even from the Labor perspective, there's been a lot of talk from the Labor perspective and certainly a lot more talk than there's been out of the government, but certainly not to the point of what's coming out from the Greens as well. So do you think that these are the times for the Greens? This is the time for the Greens to actually make something?
Absolutely. No, I think the Greens have a very big responsibility now. I mean, they are actually the only opposition in Australia. I mean, we've seen Labor cave in on so many policies. Yep. I mean, I just take one example, the Regional Forestry Agreement, which gives Gunns and other logging companies the right to rip up our old-growth forests, and with specific exemptions from our Biodiversity Protection Acts.
Yep.
You know, so there's no consideration given to our native species at all.
Yep.
And, you know, we've seen the pulp mill, and we've seen, as you say, we've had Peter Garrett say some nice things about climate change, and he seems to understand the seriousness of it, but it does not translate into action.
Yep.
And we haven't got any short-term targets. We haven't got any reduction on consumption. Mm. Now, this is an area where Labor is afraid to go, and Liberal. You know, the Greens have a policy. Look, we've just got to stop the rate of increase of energy use and actually start to reduce energy use.
Yeah.
And as well, have a very aggressive renewable energy target. Yeah. And these are issues which Labor won't even touch. But that's actually what scientists are telling us we need. So, yes, I agree. It is the time for Greens policy. I mean, in a way, I wish it weren't the time for the Greens because, you know, but you know, things are getting tough. And we have the issue of, you know, a lot of convergence of huge environmental problems, such as peak oil. This is another issue that the major parties won't touch. But, again, it's becoming very clear that we're either past or about to pass the time of peak oil when production's going to go down.
Mm.
But what are our governments doing to prepare us for this? You know, I've heard very senior economists from the States talk about a realistic price of oil per barrel as $500.
Absolutely.
Huge. Yeah. Now, what's that going to do to the poor commuters, you know, out in Penrith who have to commute to work because there's no public transport? You know, it's a very, very, very serious issue. But our governments are still spending money on roads, for goodness sake. Yeah.
I was just going to
build on that point. With that point, of course, of the idea of public transport and roads and things like that, do you think with the environment taking more of a front seat, it should be the role of the federal government, for instance, to take control of Australia's further and future movement into public transport? Should there be a government-organised scheme to encourage states and encourage communities to use public transport?
Absolutely. I think what's needed in the first instance is a national plan for these things. So we should have a national transport plan, a national oil depletion protocol. So we can at least have targets and objectives set by federally, and then we look at funding arrangements to the states as to how to affect these. And that doesn't go just for transport. It goes for things like, you know, health, affordable housing, education, all those things which, although they are nominally, you know, the responsibilities of the states, you know, they lack adequate funding and lack adequate policy from the national level. And where the policy does exist at the national level, it's hopeless.
Yep.
Like, for example, you've got Howard in the debate the other night saying what he wants to see is this, you know, very strange view of Australian history and good spelling as part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
So his idea is of a policy is to set some very funny goals for Australian schools, whereas the policy should be, let's have a properly funded education system with expert educators who set curricula. You know, that's their job.
Yeah.
You know, and so when the intervention at the national level seems to be just, you know, let's privatise everything, you know, let's give people this so-called choice or sell them this idea of the myth of choice and tax cuts, which are really eroding the common good.
So what are the hot button issues? Now, you've been obviously out campaigning in the electorate for the electorate of Bennelong. What are people saying to you are vote changes? What are things that are actually going to make them say, particularly the swinging voters, what's making them shift?
Okay. What I hear, a number of things. One is clearly climate change. I've never seen such a disparate group of people, all ages, ethnic backgrounds, so concerned about the environment and climate change. And associated with that are environmental issues like the pulp mill. Mm. You know, people just don't want this. And they see the political, you know, expediency in these decisions, and they see that these decisions are not made with the interests of Australia at heart, really. That's one issue. The other issue is Iraq and the war. And we know the lies associated with that war. Everybody seems to understand it. It is about oil, and it is about, you know, doing John Howard thinks he has to do to please his mate George Bush, rather than a proper independent foreign policy.
Yeah.
That's a key issue. Another one, of course, is refugees.
Yeah.
The number of refugee associations and groups in Bennelong is huge.
Yeah.
Lots, you know, they're out there at the detention centres. They're advocates for those refugees. And they're trying to bring to light their stories. Mm. Another one is Indigenous Australians. Now, again, a number of groups, local groups in Bennelong, are campaigning for the rights of Indigenous Australians, and not just as this, you know, preamble, but a proper recognition and treaty, and to try and reduce that terrible gap in life expectancy and so forth. So these, while they're not new issues, they seem to all be, you know, these issues are getting worse and worse over time, and I pick up from the people I talk to that these are key issues. Mm. And it's not about getting a few extra dollars in your pocket. So I think that's a very cynical view of the electorate.
In fact, I noticed today that that the Greens have other ways to spend this $34 billion tax cut. I think we all have different ways how to spend a $34 billion tax cut. Yeah. What are some of those? What are the Greens' plans for that? Obviously, I'm sure there's not just one plan, you know, let's, you know, all spend on donuts. There's got to be something we're actually going to spend it on. So what's your thought?
Well, One of the plans was, I mean, I think the fundamental thing, again, I keep coming back to this, is climate change.
Yes.
And we know from the Stern report that he recommended a 1% of GDP is what's required by the Western nations to address climate change. Now, 1% GDP roughly equates to about $10 billion a year, which for the next 3 years, coincidentally, roughly equals a tax cut.
Yes, that's right.
Right? So, on one hand, we have the Howard government saying we can't afford to address climate change. Right. On the other hand, he's saying, well, by coincidence, in fact, the amount of money we're going to give people as tax cuts is what is what's actually required to address climate change properly, and we could become a world leader in that. Bob Brown's long been an advocate of increased pensions, right? So, and a $3 billion towards old age pensions to try and reduce some of the terrible, you know, disparity in pensions, I think is only fair. Then, of course, I mean, there'd be a whole raft of things in terms of investment in renewable energies, investment in public transport, health.
Mm.
I mean, I really cannot understand when, on one hand, we have a crisis in health and hospitals, and on the other hand, we're giving away tax cuts. You know, people. I know, again, this is a state thing, but the states need the money to finance the hospitals or in whatever mechanism we use between the responsibilities between the state and the federal.
Or
the other one,
last thing
is the denti care. Yeah. Right, that's another thing that the Greens have been very strong on, is universal dental health cover.
Yeah. Or, of course, if the hospitals happen to be in a marginal electorate, then they can get as much money as they want,
even if they don't need it.
If they don't need it.
Exactly.
Or are completely pointless to give it to money. Now, the interesting thing for me, I want to come back to the balance of power, because I think the balance of power is the Senate race, particularly, is one that hasn't had a lot of feature in the media. We are conducting at the moment what looks like a very presidential style campaign between, you know, you are electing Howard or Rudd.
You're
not really electing Labor Liberal at the moment. You really have got that strain, and both of them are playing that I guess Howard's playing it and then Rudd's following in some senses. The balance of power in the Senate's really interesting because obviously it's a half Senate election this year, and currently the Liberals hold the control of the Senate. The Democrats, in theory, are are gone at this election, mm. particularly without the star power, if you will, of Natasha Stott-Despoja.
Mm. Well, Good News Week isn't on anymore.
That's true.
So she doesn't have a platform.
Her platform's dry up a little bit.
Difficult.
So how much do you think the Greens will put of the agenda that you've been talking about into their bargaining chips if they are in a position of balance of power? How much can they put in? How much of an agenda can they shift a government with that control, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Greens have been very... I mean, we can see this in Tasmania when the Greens actually did have the balance of power and they worked with the government to initiate a number of reforms until Labor and Liberal jacked up against them and reneged on things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that the Greens can work very effectively in that environment, in that situation, and we're certainly trying very hard to rescue the Senate. The Greens are not extremists, and they have been proven to be able to work with the major parties on a number of issues, and you can see this in the Senate committees, and as I say, in other areas where they have had that balance of power. So, and it is extremely important.
Yep.
That's right. And we're putting a lot of effort, as I said, in the Lower House campaign to make sure that people realise that how important it is in the Senate. I think one reason why the major parties don't push it is that it's actually truly, it's a more preferential system, and the minor parties have a much, better go, whereas in the Lower House... Yep. It's much less a preferential system and more geared to the two party, and they're not interested in really educating the electorate into how to vote for minor parties.
Sure. Now, one of the important the last thing I want to ask about policy before we wrap up is one of the important things in the sector that we're involved in, which is community broadcasting, is that we've got a current campaign called Value Our Voices, which is a recognition that we have over 400 community radio stations across Australia and tens of thousands of volunteers, generating a fair amount of income and employment. The Liberal Party have not put out very much policy. They basically say, be thankful for what you've got.
Mm. While cutting.
Yeah, Labor has offered a small figure. I know Kerry Nettle has talked about community broadcasting. What is the Greens' view on community broadcasting as a sector?
Well, you can see it for yourself in the policy statement on arts and multiculturalism in the Greens' website. I mean, we have a very strong policy for supporting community radio and community media, and would push very hard for increased funding for those activities. I mean, it's part of the, one of the essential planks of multiculturalism is that the various community groups get their say, whether they're dissenting or not.
Yep.
And so we absolutely regard it as a vital part of our democracy to have a strong community voices.
Mm. Excellent. All right, well, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck with the campaign. Good luck with the remaining 4 and a bit weeks until November 24. It's going to be an interesting time. It is a very interesting campaign, this one particularly in Bennelong. I mean, with two very high-profile major party candidates bringing a lot of media attention, as we saw out there at Granny Smith on the weekend, and we'll talk about later in the show. There was a media scrum out there, although I did notice the Greens got a reasonable coverage in most of the media, particularly with your papier-mâché John Howard walking through the crowd carrying a wheelbarrow of dirty coal.
That's right.
Which I thought was a nice piece. It was a nice little piece of it where he's walking behind the two people handing out flyers and he's like, hold it, I've got to catch up.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite a nice line.
Yeah, we were holding the windmills up front. Yes, we were saying, right. Catch up, Johnny, catch up. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck with it. And
thanks, Peter.
If people want to find out more about Greens policies, greens.org.au is the main website.
Yeah, or lindsaypeters.com.au.
Excellent.
Right, fantastic.
Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Good
okay,
luck.
Thanks thank a lot.
There we go. This is Walking Back Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. I sound like I'm in a submarine.
Do you? Oh, well, look at that. I can hear myself as well.
You can work. Nice? It's actually me that doesn't sound that good.
What's
I know why, too.
Oh, really?
I mean, just can you turn me off for 2 seconds?
I can just turn you off. I always turn him off.
I'll try that now. Is that any better?
It sounds a bit better. Alrighty. Now, the reason why we played that track, and that, of course, was Love Like Blood by Killing Joke.
It is.
Is that Paul Raven, the bassist from Killing Joke, died today.
Oh, that's
suspected
sad.
A heart attack at age 46. Bandmates Jazz Coleman and Geordie mm-hmm. Walker described Raven as possibly the funniest man on the planet Earth and a brother to us all. He left the band in 1987, that is Killing Joke, and formed Murder, Inc. and joined the Ministry, Prong and Mob Research. Anyway, he died very suddenly.
There we go.
Today.
Sad.
So there you go. So that was a Killing Joke with their track Love Like Blood. Bit of a classic, and if you're a closet goth freak, then there you go. I'm sure you'll recognise it.
Now, we should actually point out that... I'll start that whole sentence again and actually make some sense.
And thank you to our guest.
I was going to say, thank you very much to our guest, Lindsay Peters. Check his website, lindsaypeters.com.au or The Greens. Through information, but it's funnily enough, there's a lot of attention happening in Battle for Benelong at the moment. There's two big events which I was asked to talk about when I was out at Granny Smith.
Yeah.
One is a
you've been paid for this?
No. One is about renewal in Benelong. It's a panel of experts including Andrew Wilkie, the aforementioned Andrew Wilkie.
Yeah.
Of course, who was the Greens candidate in 2004 in Benelong, but he was also the person who. Left the ASIO service over the whole Children Overboard.
That's right. Absolutely. Very, very high profile.
Very high profile.
And did a fantastic job in the last election, I have to say.
And he's second on the Greens ticket in Tasmania behind Bob Brown.
Oh, wow.
They're doing a whole exploration of the biggest issues facing Australia, global warming, Iraq, where choices, Indigenous Australians, refugees. Funnily enough, the list given to us by the Greens candidate for Benelong. They're doing that on Sunday, the 28th of October, which is this Sunday.
Yep.
At Eastwood Park, next to Eastwood Station, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm. Now, look, there's a lot of events out there that's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really to raise awareness and to make everyone aware that really there is a climate of change.
Yes.
There really is a climate of change. And look, I know I say climate of change, and we've just talked about the environment, and I'm sorry, it's not an intentional pun, just simply saying there really is, the winds of change are out there, there's a certain momentum, and it's not just towards the ALP. We shouldn't just say that.
No.
Because as Lindsay Peters said, who was just in before, really also the Greens are doing really well. Grassroots people are finally standing up after 11 years of really having been ignored by the government. And all of a sudden, you know, as the election comes in, the government discovers the environment, discovers social policy, discovers all these things.
You know what it is? It's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's Lazarus style.
It is Lazarus style. Funnily enough, as they refer to John Howard occasionally, Lazarus with a quadruple bypass.
Yes,
there's also a candidate, Meet the Candidates Forum being held here in Benelong, presented by the Citizens for Integrity in Government.
Are the Citizens for Integrity in Government?
They're a coalition of the following groups, which is A Just Australia, Benelong and Surrounds Residents for Reconciliation, Benelong Friends of Refugees, Friends of Refugees Northwest, Get Up, Grey Power, and Jews for Social Action.
Okay, that's interesting.
They're holding that at the Eastwood Masonic Hall in Rose Street, Eastwood, moderated by Thomas Keneally.
Keneally. Really? Wow.
Great Labour man. Held at 7:30, Thursday, 8th of November. So that's the Meet the Candidates Forum. Now, next week, we should be talking to the local organiser for Get Up, and I'm really interested in the role of Get Up in this election.
It's really interesting, because although in the media they're often portrayed as, you know, a left-wing stooge, they really are actually a bipartisan-style group. There's lots of people from lots of different parties involved in it, whether they're fringe groups or whether they're mainstream parties. They are actually involved, and they're a really good place for people to bring all their ideas together. Yeah. So I think in this election, they may actually play quite a reasonably sizable part.
There's an enormous amount of content that we're going to be covering over the next 4 or 5 weeks. This is a fairly heavy, intensive stuff. This content's going to turn up on our website, which is www.walkblackforest.org. You can link to a lot of these people out of our MySpace. A lot of these people are all our friends on MySpace, which is myspace.com/walkblackforest. Lots of interesting stuff. And as I said, a bit later in the program, about 10 minutes' time, we're going to be chatting to Richard, who's actually down in Canberra.
He's actually... now, look...
And we promise we might actually try to be funny. For a change.
I don't know whether you're aware of this, but Richard's actually a commando.
Is he?
He used to be a ninja.
Yep.
He's now commando.
Nice.
Quite often he goes commando. unfortunately, I know
that's... So does Brittany, because she hates the... allegedly, she hates the feeling of her panties. She doesn't like them. That's what the news, that's what the newspaper said today.
I'm so concerned you know this. Anyway, Richard has...
I read the Herald.
Richard has halo-jumped into Canberra. Ooh, he's gone from 40,000 feet, as the Americans would say, jumped into Canberra, and he's there corresponding from not so much behind enemy lines, but definitely in the deep, into the denizens of... In the dungeon, so to speak, of Canberra politics.
Or the Dungans.
The Dungans.
The Dungans.
Now, down by the Quay, as the Americans would say.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this has been a really interesting time today, because there's been a bit of a... I don't know if people watched the debate.
Did you watch it?
I did. I watched the whole thing.
Now, can I ask you, what station did you watch when you watched it?
ABC.
Ah, why'd you watch ABC?
I didn't know that Nine was doing The Worm.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I find The Worm distracting. To watch, because I'm watching it from the political perspective, and I really sort of vaguely don't care while I'm watching it what the swinging voter is doing.
See, that's interesting you say that, because I watch Nine,
yep.
And I watched as much of Nine's coverage as they would give me,
yep.
To see what issues people cottoned onto. So yep. What issues were important to people? So when they talk about macroeconomic reform, obviously the worm went down, nobody cared.
Yep.
When you know, Rudd was talking about education, not needing a tax cut just as a payoff, you know, these are the real issues, the things that really hit home.
When they talked about the giant football at Geelong, though...
That was interesting. Obviously a controversial point, and that was the point where the plug was pulled. You know what?
Yep.
I actually think this goes to the core...
So family first pulled the plug?
I think it was family first.
Did
you watch...
damn you, Stephen Fielding! Damn you!
Did you watch Costello and Downer smirking to themselves in the
front row? Yeah, that's what I was going to raise the debate.
They did do themselves proud, and in fact, they were asked by the moderator to be quiet.
Yes, because they were probably yelling abuse.
They were in fact heckling.
Now it's interesting. I didn't see too many Labor shadow ministers.
I didn't see anyone on camera.
No, I saw a lot. I saw there was some nice shots of Costello, and there is he smirking as if you know what he looked like. He looked like he was someone who had just lost the Best Actor. Award at the Academy Awards. You know that look they put on their face that says, yes, yes, I really think he's a fucking asshole.
You know,
yes. That's one for me, by the way.
I was going to say, what are you doing to me?
Trying to bring it down from the high levels that we've been at.
Good, well done. Now, interestingly...
Richard's on air in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, he'll destroy everything. Now, also, I think it's interesting that really, to me, they both looked like when the Bond villain catches Bond.
Yeah.
You know, they're sitting there smirking. Now, it really was, I don't think it helped the Prime Minister.
No, I don't think it did
actually,
either.
I might say something for Kevin Rudd. I think it was very nice he referred to John Howard as the Prime Minister way through.
Yep.
The PM, the Prime Minister, he played respect to his rank. And I really think in a debate that was quite nasty at times, that showed a lot of respect.
I was sitting there watching it, and I said to you before the show, I think the interesting thing, and this was spoken here by a colleague here, was that John Howard looked like he was that old guy who sat on the swinging bench outside on his veranda waving his stick saying, you young people give me no respect. You know, he didn't look particularly interested. He didn't look vibrant. I think he went in there knowing he was going to lose the debate, because he always does.
He does always lose the debate, but then again, in the past, it hasn't mattered that he's lost the debate.
But in this sense, it may, because I think I thought he actually looked testy. You know, that whole interplay over the education debate.
Yes.
And it just looked wrong, you know. He said OECD, you know, that's pathetic. Mm. It's pathetic. You know, it was almost parliamentary style debate.
There was a bitchiness going
on, wasn't
there?
And I thought Rudd dealt with it really well. He's sitting there going, no, I'm sticking to my guns, mate. Yeah, look, you can say what you want.
Mm.
I'll say what I want. Mm. Let people decide.
Yeah, there's a couple of bitchy moments, I think, by both of them, and I don't think it really helped right at the end of the debate where the moderator said, and now, Mr. Rudd, you can sum up, and Rudd goes, but I went first.
That didn't look good.
That didn't look good, and there was a couple of points where he stumbled as well, which didn't look good. And I must say, look, I don't think it was a rosy... For his first debate, for his first debate against the Prime Minister,
who's done this six times,
he did a great job.
I think he conveyed
everything he wanted to convey, and I don't know whether the Prime Minister did actually convey everything he wanted to convey.
Did he actually
want to convey anything at all?
Well, it's interesting, you know. I'm finding this debate that's occurred over the whole issue of unionism and who's the union front bench. There's a lot of factors going on there that seems to play well.
Yeah.
It's played well in the public. The public seems to really like it. The factor that's really interesting is that Costello was on Insiders on Sunday morning and was found out that they got the information wrong.
Oh.
So, Barry Cassidy says, Wayne Swan. What union was he an official for?
Yes, that's right.
And Costello goes, oh, he's a member of the AWU. No, he said, what was he a union official for?
Yeah.
And in the end, Wayne Swan, Craig Emerson were never union officials.
That's right. It's a smear campaign.
They have to be members of a union. That is actually, you cannot be a member of the Labor Party without being in an affiliated union.
Yep.
That is true.
Mm.
You also have people like Gillard out there saying, hold it, but I was just a lawyer for the union.
Yeah.
I wasn't a union official. I was a lawyer for the union.
Mm.
But, you know, that seems to be all Howard has.
Yes.
You know,
well, look, this is
the only thing that's running any power.
This is actually the campaign that they wanted to mount. Now, first of all, of course, the first thing they wanted to really mount was the
horse.
It's a donkey, dude. They're the furry ones, a little bit smaller.
Now, interspecies erotica.
Oh, please. The first thing they wanted to do was basically assault the unions.
Yep.
That was their idea. Take on the unions, then take on the states.
Yep.
And really, I think all of it, they're playing it out so badly at the moment that really, it's actually obvious. It's obvious what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, I mean, ultimately, the whole union thing is just, you know, as I've said to you before, as we said on the air last week, they're trying to say the word union is equivalent to saying pedophile.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, and okay, yes, the unions do represent 15% of the workforce. That's a sizable proportion.
Yeah.
When you then start to look at what Happy Joe said during the week, which was unions, their time's over.
Mm.
You look at what Tony Abbott said, which was that they really are as relevant as a local football club.
Yeah.
You know, there's an attempt by them to not just marginalise unions. I think the message is getting mixed.
Mm.
Are they pedophiles?
Yeah.
Or are they
the local football club?
Or are they just a bunch of blokes?
You're right. And actually, what they're
doing... Or are they violent thugs? Where do they sit? What actually are they?
They're not doing themselves any favours, that's for sure.
No, I mean, no, definitely
if
not.
They're gonna have, it's interesting because the right generally has a very united front.
Yes.
They've got a united message, they stick behind it. A national front, maybe a socialist democratic front.
Maybe, exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe a national socialist workers front.
That could also be
it
as well.
True.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. So that's generally the front that they go down, right? So they've got an idea. Now, this one, I almost think that the Prime Minister's let his dogs off the leash.
Yep.
And there's so much off the leash that they're just running rampant. They've got no idea really
what they're doing. I don't think they've been let off the leash.
Yeah.
I think they're scared off the leash. You know how dogs during a thunderstorm get spooked and then run?
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Oh.
They're spooked.
You know, the thing that I don't get is sometimes dogs lie on the top of their dog houses, the ones with red roofs, on their backs, and they just look up the sun, and sometimes they pretend to be the Red Baron.
Oh.
Which one of them is pretending to be the Red Baron?
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is Welcome Back for us, 2RRR at 8.5, and when we get back from the break, hopefully we shall have Richard in Canberra. The mighty Ministry. Off a mind is a terrible thing to taste.
Of course, remembering Paul Raven, the bass player who died today.
And the track was, is it Deity?
It is, or wait for it. It's Thieves.
Thieves, of course. Thieves, liars, etc. This is Welcome Back for us, 2RRR 88.5, and we'll be joined by Richard soon. At the moment, we're just, we're giving away Damien Leith.
If you'd like to win Damien Leith, you can have him.
You would have heard, of course, Damien Leith on the station if you were listening earlier in the evening on the Shamrock program.
That's right.
But we're giving away Damien Leith.
We are.
Or we might give away his car.
Which part of him would you like?
Yeah, exactly. Now, during the debate, K-Rudd, as many people are calling him.
Stop. I call him K-Rudd. I'm
down with the K-Rudd posse. Mentioned in response to the Liberal, as we were talking about before the break, about the Liberal slur on the Labor front bench. I've got my hands on the new ad that's being put out there.
Cool,
so have a quick listen. This is the new election ad.
Take a look at the Liberal front bench. John Howard, solicitor, anti-worker. Peter Costello, barrister, anti-worker. Nick Minchin, solicitor, anti-worker. Tony Abbott, wanker, anti-worker. Alexander Downer, goofy, anti-worker. Philip Ruddock, solicitor, anti-worker. Kevin Andrews, solicitor, anti-Sudanese. Joe Hockey, solicitor, not a meteorologist, anti-worker. Over 70% of the Liberal front bench are lawyers.
and to use their own warped logic, that makes them anti-worker, anti-family, and pro-business fat cat. Is this who you want to lead the country? Shit, they do lead the country? Oh, well, fuck them. Written and authorised by Walker Black Forest, Glenville, New South Wales.
So there we go, that's the new campaign ad that's out there. For those of you who want to get a copy of that, we're going to put that up on the website. It'll be actually up on the website now for you to go and have a look at. And my personal favourite one is Joe Hockey. Solicitor, not a meteorologist. Anti-worker. So that's going to be on the site. We're actually going to play, we've got another one. We've actually got our hands on a Liberal campaign ad, which we'll play a little bit later. Which I think is demonstrating the whole where the Liberals are heading. But if everything is correct on the line, we should have Richard live from Canberra. Richard, are you still alive?
Yes, I am. Just still alive.
Just still alive. Has the has the ritual flagellation of your testicles caused any real blood loss?
Not at this point. Is that the excuse we're using this week?
No. We just said you're in Canberra.
All right, because I've lost them five times at this point.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes, I am in Canberra. Yep. But it's a wonder I'm still alive because there's nobody here. Everybody has just fucked off out of town, I tell you.
Okay, so Richard's on air for 3 seconds and he has to drop one in.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now, well, if you hear a bus in the background, it's the last police getting on the bus to get the hell out of town,
Except Bob McMullen, who represents Canberra.
Yes, he's still here. Wondering where everybody's fucking gone.
Excellent. He's a good man. That's another one for Richard, by the way.
Exactly.
See, before you got here, we swore once.
Did you really?
Yeah, that was it. Because we had a guest.
Like that. Pussy.
We had a guest.
I know, we're very polite, you know.
We were talking to the Greens candidate for Bennelong.
Oh, how did that go?
He was very erudite.
Probably a question I should have saved for the production meeting.
Yes,
but,
maybe later on.
Don't mind doing it on air, because of lack of material.
He was erudite. Now, I want to ask you about something, because you've been in Canberra now for the last 14 years. People don't actually realise that we always do the show
like
this.
I live down here.
You live down there. I thought you lived in Bennelong.
And I usually phone in each week.
Yeah, I thought you lived in Bennelong.
I did move to... That's my registered address, Pete. I told you not to say that on air.
Oh, sorry. That's right. Now, Howard, 2 days ago, while he was down there for the great debate...
Yeah, the great mass debate.
Oh, it was definitely both of those. He was heckled. While he was walking along...
While he was walking.
Now,
yep,
I believe the phrase was, you're an asshole, John.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
How's that played in the Canberra media? Has it been front page?
It's probably been as much as anywhere else, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big news at the moment because it was... first we had the debate thing, right, where Rudd won by a whisker.
Yeah.
Right? And then, he got heckled in the morning, and it's lucky he was actually heckled or almost not heckled because he just happened to walk past the only bus stop with the last people getting the hell out of Dodge.
And, of course, the other big story in Canberra is that someone was caught doing too fast in their yacht on Lake Burley Griffin, so you had to balance it off.
Yeah, I didn't actually catch that one. It was probably hidden from the Canberra media because we don't want any of that sort of... roundabout sort of activity in this town. No.
Now, interestingly enough,
he was probably on his way out too, and not realising that it's their fucking lake.
There's no way out or in.
Going round and round and round, unless you go through the big water fountain in the middle there, in which case you can go up as well.
Now, you mentioned that you said the debate was that Rudd won the debate narrowly. So you don't think that it was a resounding success for Mr. Rudd against the PM?
I do.
No, you do.
I reckon any debate. Is a resounding success. Any debate with John Howard, even if Rudd didn't turn up, it would be a resounding success for Rudd, in my personal opinion. But, that's just what Sky News was saying, because I just happened to have Sky News when I was down here.
Mm. Ah, so you were watching the Sky coverage?
I was watching the Sky coverage, Wormless.
Yep.
And the kerfuffle. They actually had Ray Martin on Sky News later that night talking about the kerfuffle with the worm.
Yes, and of course, he was... Ray Martin apparently actually said out loud that he blamed the Liberal Party for the censorship.
Yeah.
Oh, right, not on Sky.
Oh, okay. He has said that in the media within the last couple of days. Today, basically.
Well, good on him, I say. You know, if Ray wants to weigh into the political debate, there's a couple of free campaign slots going for him.
Yeah, exactly.
He could run for the shooters' party.
Have you talked about that? Have you talked about the the debate and the...
We've done a little bit on the
and
debate.
The worm thing.
The worm thing was really fascinating because, you know, obviously it was clearly the fact that Howard hates the worm. The worm represents the fact that, you know, people don't like the little... Let's be honest.
Even down here, trust me.
John Howard is the Cambantron of Australian politics.
You've been waiting to use that line.
Yes, I've been waiting for 2 days to use that line.
Yes.
It was well worth it, too.
Thanks very much.
Is that going to be the heading on the website this week?
Ooh.
There we go. He's giving a good one. No, we talked a little bit about it. We talked about the fact that John Howard looked a little bit testy.
Yeah, he definitely is a testy.
And he looked a little bit grumpy. And the fact that both Goofy and Peter Costello look like they had lost the Academy Award to a hobo.
Yeah, look, you know the deal with where they were sitting in the room and all that sort of stuff? You talk about that?
Yeah. The heckling that they did.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole front row of the debate was basically the front row, all the Libs cabinet.
Mm. And, 70% lawyers.
Yes, 70% lawyers.
Yep.
And wankers.
I know. can we just actually point out that we actually pointed out that the front bench of the Liberal Party was 70% lawyers last week?
Yes.
We're ahead of the crowd. Thanks, K-Rudd.
We're definitely ahead of the crowd because they weren't lawyers before that.
No, they weren't. They're just wankers.
They were indeed.
The debate was really quite interesting from a political point of view because both Rudd and Howard had their staged bits.
Mm.
But
the
manner...
Oh, it was a joke, wasn't it?
That part was a joke. But
it wasn't a debate. It was just a wankathon.
Well, I mean, the fact that they don't actually address each other from the outset means it's not a debate anyway.
No.
Yeah. They're not actually debating a point. This is a debate. All right. Prime Minister, I'd like to talk to you about your education policy. He talks about his education policy. Kevin Rudd, what's your rebuttal? Now, that's how it used to be done, but they don't do it that way anymore.
Now, what they actually need is, like...
Well,
so, Kevin
news,
Rudd.
Mate.
So, Kevin Rudd, you're a tool. You. No.
Now, can
you.
I just... Can
no.
I just... I'd just you. Like to mention at this point...
Yeah.
If you would like to go back and listen to the show a couple of weeks ago, I actually stated...
You asked Kevin Rudd a question?
No. I stated what I thought the first question to the Prime Minister would be, and I was correct. So, Prime Minister, you've led Australia into a great economic circumstances, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
The moderator set John Howard up as being some kind of messiah and then asked the first question. I'd just like to say I was right.
You were right. But the interesting thing, of course...
He's not the messiah. He's just a very naughty boy.
And soon
true?
To be unemployed.
I'd like to see John Howard on Work Choices.
Yeah, I'd like to see
him. Work for the doll.
But what was the line I made on the website a couple of weeks ago about that he's going to that John Howard will soon be into the dark wastelands of corporate boards?
Yes, he will be. I'll be
that's
bored.
A scary prospect.
Nick Greiner.
Well, what I found out down here is the caretaker mode has been a boon for all the contractors and consultants down here because it means the green light has been given for pretty much every project that was awaiting approval from the ministers.
Yep.
So as soon as caretaker mode was kicked into fashion, the work was on. The money was just thrown at everybody. Projects galore.
So the 97-story tower that is going to be the tallest... The biggest dildo in the world.
Yeah.
They're going to call it the giant dildo down there.
Isn't that called Costello Tower?
I believe it's called
Costello Tower.
Sure. So that's been given the approval down there for just next to Old Parliament House.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. That's good. I'm glad that the contract work you're doing on that to your benefit as well.
You should see my design.
I was going to say, Richard's just modelling for us.
Yeah, there's so many options. You take Peter Costello and a big, sharp, pointy thing, and there's so many things you can come up with.
Well, there was some interesting gossip
so
today.
So many places for it.
Exactly. There's some interesting gossip today that John Howard has put out some new election material in Bennelong, which basically says, I'm going to lose... Have sympathy on me. No, he didn't actually say that, but I wish he did. He had some stuff that came out today in Bennelong, and I'm just trying to rapidly work my way through trying to find it in my 50 billion pages of information.
While you're looking at that,
yep.
One of the things that didn't really make the news here was Granny Smith.
Oh, I tell you, wait till you, we've actually got a whole piece on Granny Smith, which you can hear on the website.
Oh, fantastic, good.
And it'll be up tonight.
If the internet is still down here after the week, because everyone's leaving town.
They've shut the internet down, too.
They shut everything down.
So restaurants are all gone? Boarded up?
Yep,
fair enough.
I'm hunting for scraps at the moment. You found it yet?
Yeah, I've got it. Got it all done.
Good.
John Hello. John Hello.
What the hell are you talking about?
John Howard has put out a whole lot of personal letters to the people in Bennelong that went out this week, where he has removed any reference at all to Peter Costello. Televised debate he talked about Peter Costello as being a member of his fantastic team. He's removed Costello all out of it because he just... I think there's a side of Howard that says, well, we've got a very good chance of losing this.
Yeah.
The greatest revenge I can have is that Peter Costello will never be Prime Minister.
I don't know. He was very buddy-buddy in the mass debate.
Well, then again...
But he doesn't have a choice. Of course he has to be.
But then Costello didn't do him any favours. I mean, A, he got warned by the, shall we say, slightly moderator of a slightly right-wing network.
Yes, the Fox News of Australia.
The Fox News of Australia. He got warned to shut up. Every shot they did of him, he just looked like a smirking fool, which is pretty much Ben Costello.
Mm.
And every
it's
poll
hard to look like a smirking fool if you are a smirking fool.
That's very true. And every poll they've done basically puts Costello at, like, you know,
2%.
Lower poll numbers than Pauline Hanson.
Yeah.
That's not hard.
That's not
hard.
She still gets about 75%.
In Queensland.
In fact, if John Howard ran with Pauline Hanson, I think he'd have a reasonably good chance,
ooh,
actually.
Running mate.
Yeah.
Haven't thought of that one.
Well, she's been kicked out of the Liberal Party, so she can't, but that's another story.
That's fair enough. Yeah. So, with Canberra being effectively ghost town.
Yeah, ghost town.
Are you finding that the interest in the federal election down there has waned? People just aren't really...
No. The passion, the few people who are left.
Yeah.
Are you telling me Mel Gibson's down there? The passion's there?
Yeah,
wow.
Well, his house has got burned down in Malibu. The few people who are left.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're very passionate about it down here. They're a bit more blasé, I guess. It's like, oh, it's not going to happen. And all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, the passion's there.
Has Kay Rudd been down there measuring up the parliament, the lodge?
He has. They wouldn't let him in, though, obviously. So all he can do is like run with his tape measure and imagine, oh, now if I shifted it out across 50 metres, that'd probably be right. Yeah, right.
Because the other interesting one, speaking of the lodge, Costello was interviewed and asked whether he would move into the lodge. Mm. And he said, no, I like my house in Melbourne. I'm staying in Melbourne.
Oh, dear.
That'd be an interesting shift, because the whole government operates from Sydney.
Yeah. So then
they would suddenly move to Melbourne.
And, well, there's plenty of office space down there. They could probably move into that. So,
you know, unfortunately, they decide to move into South Yarra.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yes.
Or perhaps...
What, the river?
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking more Toorak, but yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, into the river. The bottom of the river might be quite good. Concrete boots. Anyway, Richard, thank you very much for joining us from Canberra.
It's always a pleasure.
And you'll be back live in the studio. Well, actually, you'll be back on your normal landline next week.
If I can get a ride back.
There's not much left.
You know,
there's
you
not
should
much left, Tommy.
Start walking now.
You should just catch a ride back on the gravy train that's stealing all the stuff out of Parliament House, because John Howard's people are travelling back to Sydney, having been in Canberra for so many years.
It's
like Saddam Hussein's truckloads coming out of Kuwait.
I'm just waiting to send my A-10s to bomb them on the way back out.
Yeah, that's why I'm staying here.
I've just got one final question, if I may. Has the smoke in Canberra? Whoa, geez.
Hello.
That's the last person leaving. Has the smoke cleared yet from the burning of the entire set of 11 and a half years of Liberal files?
No, you can see it from a distance. It's good. You know, normally they have the Telstra spike up on the mountain, but you can see it in a backdrop of smoke from the bonfires. It's great.
It's impressive.
Reminds you where you are. Democracy at work.
Democracy missing in action, I believe.
That's exactly it.
Richard, we will speak to you next week. Thank you very much.
No worries. Have a good one.
You too.
See ya.
Bomb the living bejeepers out of those horses.
FDM.
Drug Against War.
There we go. This is a Welcome Back for us, 2RR88.5 FM. And thank you very much to Richard for reporting from Canberra.
You know, of all the on-site reporters we've had, I think he's the best.
He is the best.
Except he still doesn't know the mystery of the cow.
You know what I like about the whole thing?
What is that?
Is that during that entire piece, I don't think he actually said anything that wasn't bullshit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
That's true. And he swore three times.
I know he did well, didn't he?
What was it, four?
Four. Now, I was out at Granny Smith, which, of course, was the festival that was described as the festival that went nasty on the weekend. It was a political campaign. We alluded to it earlier from when we talked to Lindsay Peters.
Yes.
It really did turn into a campaign between Rudd and Howard. Between Maxine McHugh and Howard.
Yeah.
Maxine McHugh was out there.
Max Q.
Now, being the reporter on the spot,
yeah.
I actually didn't have anything that recorded any sound.
Great.
So, because you can tell how professional I am. But I did end up using my mobile phone, so at this point I'm going to vaguely apologise for the sound quality. The videos that I took, however, will end up on our website over the next couple of days. I took some great videos.
Whack those on YouTube.
So they're going to go on YouTube, and they'll be up on our links to those up on our website by the weekend. Which, of course, is whatblackforest.org. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is Maxine McHugh. Now, Maxine McHugh, what happened was, if anyone knows Rose Street, it was packed with people, stalls down the side. Maxine McHugh did a walk from the end of Rose Street right through to the mall.
Okay.
She had a crowd of supporters. They're all wearing purple T-shirts, which basically said a new leader for Bennelong, or a new leadership for Bennelong.
Was there a Kevin 07 shirt to be seen?
She was wearing a Kevin 07 shirt. And there was lots and lots of Maxine McHugh balloons around.
Okay.
Now, this first piece that I did is when I actually did get to meet Maxine, shook her hand, said hi. She came over to Triple R stall. But this is what happens, my description of Maxine McHugh in Eastwood live from the scene.
This feels like VE Day, the end of World War II, World War I, World War 19, and the fall of Napoleon all at once. I'm in the midst of the Maxine McHugh scrum here at the Granny Smith Festival in Eastwood. I'm trying to work my way through the Strong Voice for Bennelong supporters. It's amazing. I was this close, guys. I was like half a metre away. She said hi. She said hi to me. Our Maxine, battle for Bennelong. This is the battle for Bennelong. John Howard was here for like 30 seconds and then sort of fucked off and disappeared because he's a gutless moron who can't stand talking to his people. Whereas Maxine is here amongst the people. She's glad handing the people. She's getting applause. You can hear the applause from Maxine's crowd. It's huge. It's stunning. It's amazing. And then there's these turds. But there's, look at the applause. Look at the crowd. It's absolutely stunning. This man, he's gone. This woman, she's the queen. The king is dead. Long live Queen Maxine here at the Granny Smith Festival for a walk in the Black Forest. Your voice in the battle for Bennelong. And there's the people from Get Up too, which is even better. Amazing. Stunning. Cool. Battle for Bennelong.
So there was Maxine. She was in the crowd. She was popular. People loved her. People worshipped her. People... They were giving them her babies to heal.
Wow.
I mean, that's the sort of level of...
The amazing thing is they were throwing palms down in front of her.
They were throwing palms. She was riding on a donkey. Yep.
Really?
It was just
stunning. Wow. I hope that's not the same donkey from before.
Ah, interspecies erotica. There was a certain sense of worship there. As I said, she came over to the Triple R stall. She chatted to us. She really liked her local radio station. There's a great photo up on the Triple R Facebook group of people from Triple R with Triple R T-shirts standing next to Maxine. She was popular.
Should be up on the front page of the website.
No security, just walked around, shook people's hands, was really, really approachable from a serious perspective. She was really approachable. 30 seconds later, Howard then starts his walk down through Rose Street down to the mall. Now, apart from there was a lot of media, obviously, because he's very popular with the media, because, you know, people like to watch train wrecks. There was security king everywhere.
Yeah.
I got, and I'm not joking here, I got shoved out of the way. I got elbowed in the back by a cop for no reason. There was no reason why she had to get past me. There was room for her to walk past me.
Yeah.
She just came up, she said, "Excuse me, sir," and the elbow went straight between my shoulder blades.
Oh, that's nice.
I've got a bruise to prove it.
Police brutality.
It was pure police brutality. There was a hardcore security everywhere. Howard was being cheered and heckled and all this sort of stuff. So I'm going to play you the first of my close proximities to Howard. I got close to him near the as he was walking down the road, and I got much closer in the next piece. But I'll play you the first piece. This is me getting close to Howard and a little bit about the security that was there. Oh, yeah, and Howard being asked to spin the chocolate wheel.
Called the chocolate starfish?
Yeah.
We've got karaoke competition down on Hillview Road, and Rose M's involved with that. The timing seat stage, the fire to stage, the yield stage, and the great wheel operating.
Here he is, John Howard. Very close. Media everywhere. Security all over the place.
I might get a handshake now.
John Howard. There he is. John Howard, closest I've ever been.
So that was John Howard being moved through the mall. The next piece is actually when he hit the mall. Now there were three things I want to point out here that there was protesters started. This is where the protesters started moving. The Your Rights at Work people, the National Union of Students, all this sort of stuff. Now, three things occurred. One, I got to see a very special guest that was there. Now, you'll hear me referring to this special guest in the middle of it. Number two, as you did hear in that second piece, that I perhaps broke down some of my journalistic integrity and booed the little fucker. I go one step further in this next piece. I heckle him. And the great thing is, I'm about a metre away from the guy. Like, literally, I am 1 metre away from John Howard. Now, Abe and I have discussed on air before that we have heckled John Howard.
Yes.
From about 3 metres
yeah,
away.
3 or 4, yeah.
We sung Deutschland, Deutschland über alles.
That's right, security tried to shoot us in the head.
Yep, exactly. Yes,
that's
and,
right.
And I'm still missing half my brain.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, they never found it. I think it's somewhere down the back near the chicken shop, down underneath the Town Hall Station.
Oh, nice.
It's probably there somewhere. But this time I got within a metre of the guy. Now, I heckled him, and you'll hear my heckle. The video then cuts off, but the next shot is of John Howard staring at me. And I just went, yes, got the man. Now, after that, and I'll play it, and then I'll explain what happens next. So this is the third piece that I did live from Eastwood at the Granny Smith Festival.
I'm now literally 5 metres away from John Howard. John Howard is walking through, and the police presence is over the top. John Howard is very, very close. He's coming through now. He has got junta-style police everywhere for John Howard, and he's coming through. I'm hopefully going to get some video footage of the man who is evil incarnate. John Howard coming through. I'm being bumped and bustled by protesters everywhere. Well, supporters, really. And there we go, protester. The police presence is over the top. It's stunning. But here comes the man who is evil incarnate, John Howard.
All right, so that was, this was as he was approaching. As you can tell, my journalistic integrity remains intact. I'm biased. I'm unbiased. I'm balanced.
Yep.
The use of evil incarnate's a quote.
It is.
I didn't say it.
I don't know.
From us.
Yes.
Now, this is the final piece we were talking about. This is the piece that I was mentioning before where the special guest appeared. Just have a quick listen. This is about a one-minute piece, and then we'll play some Vox Pops.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, how are you going?
I see the balloons everywhere. And there he is. Evil incarnate.
So,
oh, it's Janet!
It's Janet! She's here too!
Oh, I don't believe it!
Oh, it's my God!
Australians out of Iraq!
Now, at the end of they started doing Howard. So, what did I happen to start? You can't actually play this because I ran out of video footage. But so there's all these, like, Apache. Now, these guys were, like, 20-year-old kids wearing braces and ties. They were just, like you know, mini freaking stockbrokers out there. And they all started going, Howard! So I started, as you would, Howard sucks! That ended up louder than the Howard chant, and it followed him halfway down Rose Street Mall.
That's awesome.
It was fantastic, and the mystery guest, if you didn't catch, Jeanette was in there.
Oh, isn't that nice?
So those videos will be up on the site in a couple of days. Hmm. They're a bit patchy in quality, but there's some very interesting shots.
Yeah.
Of course, artistically, they're Francis Ford Coppola-esque.
Look, of course.
Now,
without the Nicolas Cage, though.
Without the Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Now, we're just going to quickly play. I went out and actually did some Vox Pops, talking to people about John Howard. This lasts for about 2 minutes. Have a quick listen to these, and you'll see some of the views of what people think about John Howard in the local electorate.
Yeah. I now have a real recorder, and I'm here in Bennelong, the heart of Liberal territory, and we're going to ask some questions to some people, get some Vox Pops about their view of John Howard. The police presence is still pretty full on through here, but let's get some Vox Pops and ask some people some questions about what they think of John Howard. Well, listener here, I'm going to ask him a very quick question. So, if I had to ask you one word to describe John Howard, what would that word be?
Is cocksmoker two words or one?
I'd say cocksmoker is one word, and that's a good word. Now, if I also told you that 70% of the Liberal front bench happen to be lawyers, do you think that makes them anti-Australian?
No, lawyers are dickheads. It's plain and simple.
There we go. From a Woolworth listener, a man who believes that, therefore, all the Liberal front bench are dickheads.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
If I had to, if you had one word to describe John Howard, what would it be? Just one word. One word to describe John Howard. That's all I want.
What's in that bottom? I'm going to have to read it.
Anyone got one word to describe John Howard? None? Oh, there we go. Thank you. So, why should the people of Bennelong vote for Maxine McHugh?
Because she stands for a fairer Australia.
And if I ask you to use one word to describe John Howard, what would it be?
Might knock out printed.
Oh, you can say anything on our show. We are
dishonest.
Dishonest? Yeah. Thank you very much. Sure, any other words you'd like to use to describe John Howard?
Did you bring your
sneaky
list?
No, I gave it to him.
Hi, I'm from 2RRR. I wonder if I could just ask a quick question, if that's okay?
Of course, yes, that's it.
If you could just use one word to describe John Howard, what would it be? Fair enough. Why should people sort of listen to the ideas of Maxine McHugh? What's her big thing that she's got? What's the message for her, for the people of Bennelong?
She's very inclusive of all different groups within the area.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you had to pick one word to describe John Howard, what would it be?
Leader.
Leader? Thank you. There we go. That was actually, that was my first attempt at ever doing Vox Pops.
Nice work, dude.
They're bloody hard to do.
They are. They're
very embarrassing.
Hard to do.
I tell you, the ones I had to, the multiple takes I made those people do.
Yeah, unbelievable.
The outtakes. Well, hilarious.
Having been arrested by Westfield Security trying to get Vox Pops, I understand.
My favourite one there was, so what word would you describe John Howard? Leader. Leader of what?
The pack. Brum, brum.
Leader of the tools. Now, the interesting one there was a group of, you would have noticed me asking people who gave no answer. There was a group of students who were handing out Liberal propaganda, bags.
Liberal Party workers.
Liberal Party workers handing out bags, balloons, all this sort of stuff. Big John Howard badges, John Howard's our mate, all this sort of stuff. They were Korean students who didn't speak English.
Ah.
Now, that's I'm not criticising that.
Where's the jobs for Australians? Jobs for Australians.
My question is, does this in any way sound similar to the British backpackers doing the fairness test on work choices?
Oh, true.
So you've got work. I mean, to me, if you're a campaign worker, you should actually believe in the cause.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the idea, isn't it? It's not hire a person.
No.
It's actual campaign workers.
Yeah. I mean, all those Maxine McHugh people, and we heard there were two people from Maxine McHugh that we interviewed in the Vox Pops, that they were passionate believers in Maxine McHugh.
Yeah.
So this is really, really fascinating stuff. Yeah. Granny Smith got coverage everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's where we've talked to Lindsay Peters. Next week we are going to talk to, I can't remember his name now.
The Get Up guy.
The local organiser for Get Up. He's going to be chatting to us next week. Week after that we're hopefully going to talk to a number of other candidates as well. Mm-hmm. This election is heating up, people. Current opinion polls from News Poll last week, on Monday, had Labor ahead by 18 points on the two-party preferred.
Yeah.
That was up from 8 points on the two-party preferred after the $34 billion, you know, spoof-a-thon.
And this was before the debate.
And that's my word I made
spoof-a-thon?
Up.
Spoof-a-thon.
Nice. Yeah, it's nice.
Now, dude, we're going to wrap up.
We do have to wrap up. Are you going to play the outro?
Oh, I thought so, but I didn't know whether you really seriously wanted to chuck the other thing in.
Oh, what other thing? Was that the final ad?
No, the song.
Oh, no, we don't have to play the song. Oh, okay. We'll play that next week.
What about your ad?
I want to play the last ad, actually. Now, I think it is track number... Oh, we're going to be testing ourselves here. It's either three or four. It's one that's got and lots of bells. Got that one?
Got it.
Now, this is the... we've exclusively got our hands on A, Liberal Party. I'm not saying it's the Liberal Party.
Just a Liberal Party.
Their new campaign ad... Where they're trying to lift the tone, make it a bit more positive, give us a vision for the future, and just demonstrate why they should be the party of government. So let's have a play.
Are you scared? Frightened that something will come? Maybe even chill you to the core? There is darkness around the corner. It eats children, destroys homes, and will kill Jesus Christ again. This time, not in a good way. Not to save your soul. Just kill him. Dead. D-E-A-D. Last time you were this frightened, you wet yourself. What is coming is evil. His name is written in blood. It says... Kevin Rudd.
Written and authorized by Shit Your Pants with Fear on behalf of the Liberal Party, Gladwell.
As you can tell, a positive ad.
Oh, positive ad. They're good. The Liberals are good at positive advertising, let's be honest.
The line I like out of that, I think the Liberals have really hit the policy nail on the head, that Kevin Rudd will kill Jesus Christ.
Oh, he will.
Again.
Oh, of course.
And this time not in a good way.
This has been a Walk in the Black Forest.
It has been a Walk in the Black Forest.
Post-debate special.
Can you tell that I had not much to do this week?
Gee, Willikers Batman.
Oh, if I can keep that up during the entire campaign, I'm going to be a dead man. So Richard's back next week. All this is going to be on the website. We've got videos from Granny Smith. We're hopefully going to go to this Benelong Meet the Candidates forum. I've got a request in that we can actually record and do some Vox Pops out there. So that's going to be really interesting. If you are a candidate, we need to say this really, really importantly. If you are a candidate in the election, we have a commitment to offer you airtime.
Equal airtime, absolutely.
Equal airtime. We'll be critical or we'll be pleasant, depending on whether we like you or not.
That's true.
But we're offering you equal airtime.
Exactly.
And that includes you, John, and Maxine. And can I just say we are, I think, now under 1 month away from the end.
Ding, ding,
John
baby.
Howard.
It's just under 5 weeks, I think.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, let's see how we go. Let's not count our chickens before they're Turkish.
Or they get killed by Kevin Rudd.
Or the PKK.
You taught me really well with that deep voice.
Oh, that's all right.
Kevin Rudd. We'll see you next week.
Come back next week with Richard in tow.
Whatbyforest.org for all our stuff.